Franchise, I'll tell you what. When the listeners, the patrons, give us like stuff that we fucking hate, and I, you know, we can blame them.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've gotten so used to that that I forgot what it's like to just to know that I'm doing something wrong to myself.
Right. Yes. Yes. Although in this, Patreon didn't exist, but we did not choose Jumanji.
That's actually a great point. It was Liana Boris, technically. But I had seen that last Jumanji movie before we did it on the show, and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I was so jazzed for this follow-up that I went to go... it's a bonus episode. I'm Daniel Ehrenberg. This is Henry Papali. We're covering Jumanji The Next Level. Whatever.
It's like we're on the radio. It's like, in case you're just tuning in, they do have to purposely click. So,
yo, okay. But I feel like we should say our names at the beginning of the show. Yeah.
It's H Juge and DG.
That's it? That's all you got?
Nah,
I didn't think
really
about
tired.
It.
Yeah. Clearly I didn't either. Mm-hmm. So, all
D,
right. Continue.
The D Rainforest. I will say. We chose Jumanji for Liana, and now she's long gone from the podcast, and we're still we still have to watch these movies. And so I was like jazzed when this one came out in theaters, and I remember sitting in theaters watching it, like really early on in the movie, and just understanding already, like, oh, I'm gonna have to see this again in like a couple of months. And, like, I knew that going in, but then just, like, once I realized I was not enjoying the movie, this, like, sinking feeling overcame me. Do you find that this is, like, notably worse than the last one?
All right. I got to be honest with you. I did not think that at all. I was dreading this fucking thing. I was not a fan of the first movie.
Third movie. Cause...
Right. Not right.
You'll recall, I also watched...
I meant the first.
You mean the Robin Williams one?
Correct. Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what you meant? Okay.
Yes.
I'm just also reminding you, the first The Rock movie is the third Jumanji movie because I also watched Zathura, A Space-Time Adventure.
Yes, I actually went back to catch myself up a little bit since we did this episode... in May 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I barely remembered The Rock one. I kept trying to find what I gave it. But of course, we rambled on so long in that episode, I just gave up.
I gave it a 3. I know that much.
You did know that. All right. Yeah. I put on Letterboxd, I gave it a 2 because it sounds like I probably would have. But this movie was actually it did something I didn't think it would do. I actually laughed a couple times, and I was surprised. Now, you thought it was notably worse.
This is not good.
Yeah.
You know, I found this to be a very old-fashioned seeming sequel, where now with sequels, I feel like most studios just treat them as TV shows where you're just getting like the next chapter of a serialized story. And this was a weird one for me because it reminded me more of sequels from like the late 90s, early 2000s. Things like American Pie or Austin Powers or even something like The Mummy, where like it's just kind of the same movie again.
Yes, absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Slightly a tilt. You're like hitting all the same beats.
You're right.
These are the jokes you remember. They even did a thing where, like, of course, like the main conceit of these movies is the teens, they go into a video game and then they become The Rock, Jack Black, Karen Gillan, and Kevin Hart. And so it's the personalities of the teens coming through them. And so in this one, we decided to like twist it up a little bit. Danny DeVito's involved. Danny Glover's involved. So Jack Black and Kevin Hart and these people are playing different characters than they did in the last one, which right. is a good idea. But then, of course, like halfway through, they just go back to the ones they were playing in the first one.
Yeah. No. That's
but you know good... what? I was thankful for it because the ones they were doing for this one were not working.
Okay. So interesting. So that's a really good point about the 90s thing, because that's very true. It didn't try. It was not going for it. Anything new at all whatsoever.
It literally is just like the next level. Like, it is different from the first game as World 1 Level 2 of Super Mario Brothers is to World 1 Level 1.
Totally. It's like the first level of Altered Beast, and then the second screen in of
What's
Altered Beast?
Beast?
That was a great game from Sega Genesis in the late 80s.
I don't believe you.
Altered Beast, look it up.
I am going to look it up.
I found it, and it was in some article I was reading about something completely different, and I was like, holy shit, I forgot about Altered Beast, and you can actually get it on your phone. It was really nostalgic for me. But I was a Sega guy, remember? You know, all the friends were Nintendo.
Yeah, I was too. All right.
You don't remember Altered Beast? Wow.
No, but here it is. It's a 1988 beat-em-up arcade game. It's set in ancient Greece and follows a player character resurrected by Zeus to rescue his daughter Athena from the ruler of the underworld, Neph. Through the use of power-ups, the player character can assume the form of different magical beasts. There you go.
It's great. And every time he would change, you'd see his body just sort of like do that kind of flashy 1988 morphing. It was great. It was so much fun.
Hey, they remade it for PlayStation 3 just like 10 years ago.
Oh.
All right.
The thing is that I want to know what you mean about which character switching, because I found the Kevin Hart being Danny Glover and Danny DeVito turning into The Rock. I liked that.
Okay.
I thought that had the potential to be the worst idea on earth. And I thought it was kind of funny. I was dreading watching this. I was dreading it. And I didn't hate this movie.
I think you didn't hate it because you were dreading it so much.
Probably. But those touches I thought were kind of funny. Because at least we didn't have to sit through the exact same character. You got to see The Rock doing something a little bit different. You got to see Kevin Hart, who's my MVP.
Yeah, I know. You're not a... I think he was your LVP in the last one.
Probably was, yeah. I mean, I'm not...
He does a very good Danny Glover.
And he's toned down because of it. And that helps. And I like that. Awkwafina, I thought, was very charming. Jack Black made me laugh a couple of times. I don't know. I maybe it was because I wasn't inundated watching a double feature of Jumanji that I was also a little more open to it than 2 years ago.
Speaking of Jumanji, The Next Level, it was directed by Jake Kasdan.
Sorry, let's give the stats.
Whatever. It's the new Jumanji movie. It's the same team as the last one, relatively. Jake Kasdan directing. We like him from things like Walk Hard and the TV set and Zero Effect and Orange County. Good filmmaker, with the exception of Bad Teacher. And then we've got writing. He's involved along with Jeff Pinkner, who is a J.J. Abrams guy, and Scott Rosenberg, who's also a J.J. Abrams guy, but he got his start, of course, writing Beautiful Girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, great movie.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on it. I just rewatched it. So this came out December 13th of this past year, 2019, the last good year we'll ever have. And not that it even was one. It cost, apparently, according to Wikipedia, $132 million. We know that.
Yeah, I see that.
And it made $796.6 million. What a hit this film was, Henry. This snuck right in there. We have the final standings here for 2019 at the box office, domestic box office anyway. Jumanji snuck in at number 10. But it's way ahead of number 11 by over $100 million. It Chapter 2 at number 11.
All right.
Do you know the... Have we done this? Do you want to guess the top 10? This is the top 10 for last year.
2019. Okay, so Avengers Endgame.
That's number one with an Infinity Stone, Henry.
Okay, nice.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know.
What are you talking about? That's the only movie you could think of from last year?
I'm trying to think of the big block, but Captain Marvel.
That's number six.
Okay.
With an Infinity Stone.
Yeah, there are. Aren't there five or six of those?
I don't know.
Six, right? Yeah. 2019. All right. I don't know, man. Here it is.
Let's number 10. You've got there Jumanji.
Okay.
All right. And that's no mean feat. Some of the movies that just missed out: Hobbs and Shaw. How about that? Us.
Jesus.
John Wick 3. All right. Those are outside of the top 10.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. All right.
But number 10, Jumanji. Number 9, Joker.
Oh, yep. Right.
That's number 9 with a sledgehammer beating you over the head. Number 8 is Aladdin.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We covered it. Number 7, Spider-Man Far From Home.
All right.
Number 6, Captain Marvel. Number 5, Toy Story 4.
I didn't even remember that came out last year. Okay, sure.
Number 4, Frozen 2.
Wow. Okay. Jeez.
Number 3, another movie we covered, Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to make me
Can
feel
you
like
believe
an idiot.
That? Listen to this though. That at number 3 got beat. Number 2, The Lion King.
The Lion King
beat
Star Wars.
Yeah, fuck you, Star Wars.
Wow.
And then
that's so insulting.
I know for sure. And then number 1, of course, Endgame. All right, so back to this shit. The Rock, I mean, I like him almost 100% of the time in life.
You love him.
I love him. The guy can't do a Danny DeVito impression. I am so sorry.
That is true, but I think in this movie, I can't believe I'm on the positive end of a fucking Jumanji conversation. I think that he's doing what he thinks is sort of a little bit of a New Jersey Danny DeVito. He's doing the
it's bad
cool and yep.
It's bad. You know, The Rock is being outclassed by everybody in this movie, and it's a problem because I love
so.
The Rock. And The Rock's whole thing in this movie is he's supposed to be the best. He's supposed to be the most awesome, and he was in the first one. And in this movie, fucking Kevin Hart's funnier than he is. Fucking Jack Black, who is not good in this movie, is funnier than he is. You've got Awkwafina, who shows up halfway through and is better. You've got Karen Gillan, who for some reason they decided is going to be the star of this movie. I assume because they had her for the most days of filming.
I like her.
I like her fine, but let's not go crazy here.
You know what I think might be going on here, too, is that you and me right now with the Rock, I'm so not tired, but maybe a little bit of the Rock fatigue, always kind of playing himself. It was funny and fun to me to see him try something different. And whereas you really do love this guy, he's one of you grew up with him, you know, and I think maybe you really just want to watch The Rock when you watch
I disagree. Like I really felt that in the first...
It's not a critique. I just...
But in the first movie, he's portraying Spencer, the nerdy main kid who's the kid now is weird to watch in these movies because he's from Hereditary.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
But he was doing an arc where he's like the nerdy guy who gains confidence. And that I thought The Rock was able to pull off fine, like being a smaller man in this large body. But now in this movie, they're just asking him to – like the version of that he's doing in this movie is a Danny DeVito impression? I don't think so. Like, really, the only arc to get invested in this movie is the Karen Gillan arc, which is, she is playing the same kid as she was last time, right?
And the, yeah, and the Danny Glover. I thought that was done well.
Oh my God, but it's just so out of left field. Like, we watched this whole Jumanji movie, the last movie, but the kids getting trapped in a video game. There's time loops. Colin Hanks has been trapped in there. Wait, where's Kevin Jonas coming from? They've developed all this mythology, and then in this movie, they're really asking me to take to really care about Danny Glover and Danny DeVito aren't friends anymore. And they need to. They used to run a restaurant together, and one of them wanted to keep running the restaurant, and one of them wanted to travel the world. And now, in this movie, they need to rediscover their friendship.
That's absolutely what's going on. That is.
I'm supposed to care about that?
Yeah. No. You know, I think the thing is that I didn't remember anything from Welcome to the Jungle. Not one thing about that movie was memorable to me. And so when I watched this, it was almost like seeing, and this makes sense from kind of what you said, it's starting from scratch, essentially. So it's essentially like I was watching this for the first, this version of Jumanji for the first time. Like, Robin Williams existed, and then this.
Well,
like, you could literally come into this movie, I think you will probably agree with me, you could watch this without having seen Welcome to the Jungle and be like, oh, this is what they did with the new Jumanji movie. Interesting.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. But as someone who's hosting a show called The Franchise and likes to pay attention to the progression of a franchise from movie to movie, I remember the last movie quite well. And for me, the beginning of this movie was like as big a fuck you in its own way as like the beginning of Alien 3 killing like Newt and shit.
Oh, that's insane. Jesus, you really were invested in that Jumanji movie.
Listen, the whole arc of that Jumanji movie was this Spencer kid played by Alex Wolff developing some fucking balls and asking out that girl Martha and them like whatever, hooking up. And so in this movie, like, it starts with, like,
he doesn't have it at all.
He's away at school. He's miserable. He has no confidence whatsoever. Now he's back in town. He's supposed to see his friends for, like, the first time in a few months the next day. And he has, like, a fucking panic attack about not being The Rock anymore and decides to pull out this video game that almost murdered all of his friends.
None of that made any sense. I'm totally with you on that.
I mean, as an inciting incident, it is a loser.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you totally on that. When he did that, I mean, I don't even think, honestly, I don't think they had confidence in that idea because they didn't even show him actually get in the game.
No.
They even made a point. Of a big point of tap dancing around it and then made the friends have to discover that he did it because there's no reason
because
why
it's because it's unforgivable.
Right.
In the first movie, they all got into the fucking game as an accident. They were like cleaning up at school or whatever the fuck.
True, fair points, yeah.
Yeah, and so in this one, like, it's a rescue mission. Like, oh, our friend fucked up. Now we're all going to risk our lives again. And not only us, but also your fucking uncle and his friend, apparently. His former friend who's hanging around.
Yeah. I just didn't. I believe I'm part of the franchise co-hosting team, but and I usually do care about the continuity. But in this particular one, I just didn't really care. So I got past that stuff pretty quickly because I found the rest of it just pretty entertaining. I did not think it was original. It didn't build anything from the first movie, but it didn't bother me that they didn't continue that arc. But having said all that, everything you say is absolutely true. I mean, going into the inciting incident is completely unoriginal. completely.
It's not only unoriginal, it immediately makes a character that was your hero and your audience point of view in the first one into a selfish fucking prick.
Right. And I think if you were to watch the Welcome to the Jungle and then this right away, like if we had done these,
you'd
right
get
away,
whiplash.
Yes, I agree with you. But 2 years having elapsed for me, you can understand where I don't, you know. But if I was watching these together as on our show we usually do, then I would absolutely have felt that. Because at the end of the first movie, it's the end of Welcome to the Jungle, right? Like you said, Spencer now has confidence. He's got the girl. He's got all this stuff. And so if you are just, like you said, you get whiplash. If you're put into this movie, all of a sudden he's getting, what did he say? Show him in the college and he's like getting knocked over and his bag breaks and he can't get a cab. And so it's like, wait, what? Didn't he just go through this life-changing transformation to become a man? Plus 3 years have elapsed apparently in the timeline. So it's almost like the whole movie's point of making Spencer confident is totally gone.
Yeah, they ignore it completely. It's almost like, I don't know, you got these two characters, you spent so much time working on that relationship in the last movie, Spencer and her name's Martha, right?
Sure.
The redhead. But like, in this movie, why don't you just like leave them alone? Like it, you know how like on TV shows, sometimes if they're like building up a couple for a long time, then they finally get together. The next season, maybe they don't really have a storyline. They're just sort of,
yes,
they get to be together for a season.
Yeah.
It's all right. So yeah, in this movie, just let them be a couple. There's another, there's two other characters. There's like a hot blonde girl who you can give stuff to do. She's not a
That's
bad
true.
Actress.
And they don't use her at all.
They have her in this weird subplot. Yeah. Whose entire purpose seems to be to bring back Colin Hanks because someone required that.
And that was really hard to swallow. He was in this thing for 20 years. And then I guess that, as I remember in the first one, the time actually didn't elapse. So he wasn't actually missing or some bullshit. They could But he risks losing his family, his wife and kids, to just go help this guy that helped him. Wouldn't he just be like, you know what? I really appreciate what you guys did for me last time, but I kind of have, as you can see, I have a mortgage and
I don't know. He's got this. He's got this college girl moving in on him, man.
Yeah, you think he's like, what's your name, Bethany? Well, let's see.
Henry, she was barely legal in the first one, and now she's ripe for the taking, baby.
Colin Hanks, how old is he now? Is he like your age?
Colin Hanks? No, he's older than me.
Probably like my age.
Yeah, he's probably your age.
Yeah. Great.
I think Chet Hayes is more like my age.
I don't know. You know, the movie is, I thought certain things were nice in it. It's an innocent movie.
Are there any jokes or set pieces that you wanted to talk about?
I like the flying horse.
Danny Glover turning into a horse and deciding to stay in Jumanji was such a weird character choice that I decided I liked it.
Well, I knew, there were a couple of things I predicted, weirdly, which it's not a big deal because it's not a whodunit, but as soon as they kept changing characters, I was like, Danny Glover is going to become the horse. And at the end of the movie, way before the end, I was like, he's going to stay because they set up that he has cancer.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the whole movie, I was like, he's not going to go back. He's not going to go back. And then, of course, when he says, I was just like, yeah, I know he's not going back. He's a happy flying winged horse. Why would he go back home and die of cancer? So I knew that shit was coming. But you're right. I mean, they switch a lot, right? I mean, like,
halfway through, they discover that sort of water that can change you can switch characters. And so once they discover that, they do that a lot. They do it the first time they do it, it's the big black guy.
Fridge,
right. He becomes Karen Gillan.
Right.
Yeah.
He jumps Right, he loves it for a few minutes, and Jack
And
Black.
She's like, "Don't grab my boobs," and he's like, "Whoa, this is the first thing I did, son."
Ready? Yeah, I know. That was fun. That was real funny. But then she dies, right? Yeah, he gets cocky in her body, no pun intended, and he swings on a tree, falls, dies, and then comes back. Though they get switched again.
I don't remember how they get switched again, but...
because Jack Black reaches into the water and he's like, "Enough of this. Let's get back to."
Oh,
we
right,
were.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And then Awkwafina, she becomes Danny. How does she get Danny DeVito in her?
Well, at first, Awkwafina is Spencer. Yeah,
right.
They find her, and she's sort of a new playable character in the game, and she's kind of like a ninja. With like a racist Asian name. That's kind of funny. It was like Ming or something.
What?
I thought Awkwafina handled herself well in this. She acquits herself well in a big box mainstream Hollywood movie.
It does. I mean, I had never really seen her in anything until this show. And you educated me on her. And then when I saw her in Ocean's 8, I was like, okay. But there was so much going on in that movie that, like...
She
I
was my
really
MVP
get...
in that movie, though.
But she,
yeah.
Really liked her in this. I thought she was... I was just like, she is very, very appealing. Like,
yeah.
Very funny. She's got that kind of funny, salty voice that's, like, kind of deep. And she's just very likable. And
she was good in Crazy Rich Asians too. I feel like she's a fucking star, man. Just like throw her in any piece of shit, and she like rises above the material.
Yeah. But like, I guess I didn't. I mean, some of the set pieces were okay. I mean, but most of them.
There was
I
a
mean,
snow one because the first movie. Yeah, right. We tried to change the landscape a few times.
Yeah, I didn't care for the villain because lo and behold, when I saw him, I was like, "This is like, this is Jumanji, like harping on a Game of Thrones thing or something." Then, sure enough, that actor was, I guess, I found out. One of the characters.
There's
in Game of
barely a villain in this fucking movie. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess that guy's the LVP, but I mean, it's such a negligible thing. Like, really, they're just like trying to survive the environment. Like,
yes,
this
it is the environment. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just like this random dude wearing like a hood with like a long beard who like wants the ruby or whatever they have, some MacGuffin.
Like, it was Bobby Cannavale in the last one, right?
Yeah. And you know what? That didn't bother me that they didn't cast someone good in the role, because Bobby Cannavale was so wasted in the last movie that if you're literally just going to make the same movie again, fine. Just cast a fucking Game of Thrones nobody in the role.
They did.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they set up a third one, or a fifth one, depending on what your count is. Did you catch that, the stinger?
Yeah, I waited. Yeah.
All right.
Mid credits.
It's exactly the same as the end of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, where like the things of Jumanji are let loose on the world, and it's such like an obviously normal regular idea for a sequel that it blows my mind that they didn't just do that for the second one.
Make Jumanji just on Earth.
Yeah. Instead of doing the first one again, make a second movie.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know, but then honestly, that would have had to really stretch. I mean, this is a cash cow, and that's what this was. So it's not very creative. And so if they would have had to do that, they would have really had to stretch, right? Because then they'd have to decide what rules are going on Earth that you can. What can you bend? It's way too much thought, I think, for that.
What the first one is.
Yes, but that was an original production, being like a remake of sorts. You know what I mean? So I think that it was like an idea being tried out, whereas this was like, no matter what we do.
But this, remember, is in the same continuity with the first one. So
yeah,
we can just use the same rules that are established in the Robin Williams movie and do it with these characters, and you would have gotten a different flavor for this fucking movie.
I know. I think you're giving them a little too much
I'm
credit.
Not. I'm not. Jake Kasdan is a good filmmaker who's been making good movies for over 20 years now. And fucking the last movie was co-written by Chris McKenna, who's a great writer. And, you know, Jeff Pinkner and Scott Rosenberg kept going for this one. This is not untalented people making this movie.
No, but that doesn't always mean the recipe is going to be that they give a shit. Right?
They have so much money, and I just don't understand why they couldn't. I don't know. Maybe they had a deadline, and they couldn't work out a new storyline to make the deadline. I mean, it is only 2 years since the last movie, which is a pretty short time frame. So they might have had to rush the fuck out of it.
They probably greenlit it while this first one was still in theaters. I'm sure they did. Right. So, I mean, you know.
They needed to give them one more year. 2 years, we know. It is too short a time frame.
Dan wanted more from Jumanji The Next Level, folks.
I did. No, yeah, I fucking did.
I know you did. I think that's cool. I just didn't. I didn't really. So it was for me, like, it was totally fine. I didn't.
Okay. And then the movie ends with Danny DeVito goes to the old restaurant that he used to own, and now it's run by Bebe Neuwirth, and he gives her a look like The Rock, and she decides that she's gonna fuck him.
That was really, really gross. Yeah.
And I'm like, BB, you know, you could get like a normal sized man.
That's exactly the fucking thought I was having at the. I was like, first of all, BB Neuwirth, you are still gorgeous, and you can.
I wanted to say like I'm no prize, but I think I'm better than Danny DeVito.
When you see things like that in movies, you definitely think that. I totally thought that too. I was like, could I get BB Neuwirth?
You can get the BB Neuwirth of this movie.
Like, yeah, it's like, is that? It's okay. That's cool. Good to know.
Also, Maren Hinkle, the actress. I don't know what she was up to during the filming of this movie, but she plays Spencer's mom, so Danny DeVito's daughter, and she is never in the same shot as any other actors in this entire movie. So I don't know if they shot everything in like one day on a different set or something, but
she's always in a doorway.
She's often in a doorway
or a hallway on the main floor. Uh-huh. They never. You're right. Holy shit. What's she from? What do you know her from?
She's been around forever. She was on. Yeah. She was a regular on 2.5 Men. I know that. But I mean, like, she's in like 80s movies and stuff.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I didn't recognize her at all.
Let's see. Oh, she's on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel now. That's what she's up to these days. Oh, not 80s movies, but 90s movies. Well, she's in Frequency. You can check her out in I Am Sam and Dark Blue. She's been around.
Dark Blue's great.
Sure.
It is, yeah. I remembered a scene I thought was cool, even though it's a Temple of Doom ripoff, but whatever. The mandrel sequence with all the monkeys attacking them on the bridge. I thought that was cool.
It's okay.
Dan just not. He is not taking it.
I wasn't having this one. I should not have rewatched it. Honestly, I got like 10 minutes into the rewatch for the podcast this morning. Was like, it all came back to me. I was like, oh, I remember every complaint I had the first time I saw the movie. And it didn't change at all. So like,
you saw it like, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters back in, what, it was December.
December, so like 6 months, okay, yeah. And okay, so nothing would really, I would think, alter.
No, I just needed to be reminded of all the things I just said.
Right.
But I was in the first 10 minutes. Like, the second Spencer went back into the game, I was like, oh, right, that's why I hate this movie.
Yeah. Maybe establish a six-month rule for yourself, for the show, you know? If we do bonus, if you remember it well enough.
I didn't think I did, but I was wrong. Okay. Honestly, like, if you asked me yesterday what happens in this movie, I remembered absolutely nothing.
Okay, so you were like me with the Next Level.
I just need tiny refresher.
Yeah.
All right. I give it a 2, Henry. What do you give it?
Yeah, I give it a 2.
All right. Who's your MVP? Kevin Hart, you said?
Yeah, Kevin Hart.
All right. I'm going to say my MVP for this one is I'll go with Awkwafina, but Kevin Hart would have been my second choice.
I thought he was very funny, and I really liked every time they were doing Danny Glover, and they would say he has to speak faster. And I thought that was very
funny.
He
was good at that. Kevin Hart, when he needs to tone down, can do it.
That's what I learned. Maybe I was like really entranced with that. I was just kind of like, oh my God, he's not like yelling and screaming and running around the screen. You know, it was kind of nice and did a very funny Danny Glover impression, which I thought was very good.
Yeah.
And LVP, I mean, I don't know, man. Honestly, that Spencer kid when he was the kid, I like that actor's good. I mean, he's great in Hereditary.
Alex Wolff.
I mean, Alex Wolff, yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's got sort of this very Jason Biggsy quality to him sometimes. Care for. It's like, we get it. I get it. Like, I can't, you know.
Yeah, why the long face, buddy?
Dude, yeah, exactly. Like, you're a loser. We know. And he's just, maybe he's so good at it. I just can't. It's just like, he gets exhausting for me to watch. And he's not even in this movie that much.
No.
But, yeah. He's my LVP.
All right. I'm going to say something right here. I know the villain's the worst part of the movie because he's not really a villain. But least valuable player, I'm going to say Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
History has been made.
Yeah.
The franchise.
I'm so sorry, Dwayne. I love you. You're perfect. You're the second best wrestler of all time, of course, after Stone Cold Steve Austin. But this was not the one for you, buddy.
Ooh, boy, this was like me giving Tom Hardy LVP for Capone. It was not fun to do.
Oh, I didn't know you did that. They do MVPs and LVPs on the Real Rundown?
No, it's me too.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. You have a superhero count?
I do, courtesy of one of our most loyal listeners. You know who the rest are. You know who you are. Joshua Lemur.
Joshua Lemur, definitely one of our top five best listeners.
Yeah.
And of course, the rest know who they are. Yes.
Yeah. I have had sort of a rep over the last 4 years of not doing superhero counts for bonus eps, and so I asked Josh if he would be interested in doing so, and he did. He supplied me with an extremely thorough one, but we're gonna see what we can get in here. First, he did sort of the Henry version.
All right, you name the actor. I know it. I know all of them in this one.
All right. Danny DeVito.
Of course, in the best Batman movie, he played Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Josh always gives him an uncredited cameo in the first Men in Black.
Yes, he was an alien on the screen.
Right. But, okay, I guess he thinks that was a comic book.
No, yeah. In the movie Men in Black. Oh, yeah, that's a
superhero.
I think that counts, superhero count.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Danny Glover.
Of course, he was in Blank Man.
I wouldn't even have gotten this to register, and this is legit.
What?
Appeared as client in the pilot episode of the short-lived Fox show Human Target, based on the DC Comics.
Yeah, I know, Vertigo. DC Vertigo, Human Target, that's a superhero count.
Josh, Jesus. All right, here we go. Dania.
There have been two short-lived Human Target TV shows, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus. Dania Ramirez.
That's right, from Heroes. She appeared briefly in this as, like, the very exotic woman who showed
that
up.
Was funny. I thought that was funny.
It was all right.
Yeah. God, I liked a lot of dumb humor in this
movie. You did.
What the hell is going on with me? All right. Yeah, and I guess she was Callisto in X-Men 3.
That's right, The Last Stand, yeah.
He credits her as Maya on Heroes. He's generous. That's not.
I certainly count that. Yes.
I know you do. I know you do. She voiced Scandal Savage in the 2018 animated Suicide Squad movie, and voiced Red Velvet in Justice League Action.
Red Velvet, like the cake.
So I guess, is there a cake in Justice League that I'm not aware of that has like kryptonite powers or something?
I don't know, man.
I am Red Velvet. If Batman or Flash, I only work on the Batman Flash. They eat me.
All right, what's next?
They get fat. My cholesterol.
That'd be a good power, like a superhero. We could make anybody fat.
Yeah, just it gets their cholesterol.
It would be so distracting in a fight to all of a sudden get fat.
You gotta make it like one of those like third tier characters, like Red Tornado or something. Just be like I have only one weakness. your Earth Red Velvet cake.
Is that how you think Red Tornado talks?
That's what I always imagined him to sound
yeah,
like.
Yeah, because his dialogue boxes are kind of square.
Yeah,
it makes
yeah,
you think
yeah.
of robots.
I've never heard him in a cartoon or anything. How do they do him in a cartoon?
I don't remember. All right, who's next?
Mossy Ferlin, who played Switchblade in this, the Rock's character's nemesis weakness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
He played a janitor in The Dark Knight Rises and a flight attendant in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Who could forget?
God, I'm so glad he did this superhero count. These are the kind of counts that make my days very, very painful. John Ross Bowie.
Oh, yeah, I know this one. He's a guy. He's a character actor. He's been in a lot of sitcoms, including The Big Bang Theory. But he was in one of the Spider-Man movies, right?
He doesn't credit him with that.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. What? Oh, I'm thinking of fucking Martin Starr in Homecoming. Go ahead.
Yeah, he gives him a hero credit. Appeared in an episode of Heroes as an unnamed attorney and did voice
Jesus.
Work for the Big Hero 6 animated
series. Oh, my God. All right. Never mind. Let's get through this.
Diobia Opare.
Who's
who
that?
The elevator guard.
Great.
Boy, he's digging deep. Played a paramedic in 2012's Dread.
Okay.
Right? And lastly, Bebe Neuwirth.
Oh.
Voiced a character on an episode of the 90s cartoon Freakazoid, which is about a superhero, but not based on a comic.
Correct.
So that counts. And that's
I watched it.
And he's got five other ones from IMDb if you want to hear them or not.
Yeah, read them. Go quick.
All right. Dorothy Steele. She was the village elder in Jumanji The Next Level. Also played a village elder in Black Panther.
Ooh, village elder special.
Yeah, that's what she does. Vince Pisani was the pharmacy manager. Sure, when Spencer goes to get his meds, right?
I think. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember. No, he works. Doesn't he work in the convenience store?
Yes,
and the guy's like, aren't you fucking done by the straws yet? Or whatever the fuck he's doing. Yeah. Get off your phone, you piece of shit. I think I should browbeat you enough so that tonight you dive back into your fucking video game, you dumb piece of shit.
Essentially, that's what he acts like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good manager impression.
Thank you.
Well, he played a cashier in Watchmen series, HBO, and Dr. Kelsey in The Gifted. I don't know what The Gifted
is. Oh, you should be counting that. That's an X-Men show. Bryan Singer directed episodes.
All right. Derek Russo played the Keymaster in this movie and has a recurring role as a guard in Black Lightning.
Mm. He plays the gatekeeper on Black Lightning.
Are you the Keymaster?
Yes.
Vanessa Cater, who played the redheaded marauder in this, also played on Black Lightning. And Morgan Brown, the fortress guard, appeared on both The Gifted and Black Lightning.
I assume they shot a section of this movie in good old Canada. But yeah, I also assume all of those people are black because they're all Black Lightning.
Josh, that was a stellar job, buddy. That was way more thorough than I can ever do. So much appreciated. Much appreciated. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Jumanji, the next level. We fucking did it. There's probably going to be another one. I guess we'll cover it.
Yeah, I might try to watch this again. I might, maybe if there is, I'll watch the first two, meaning the Rock one. You know, no promises about Zathura.
You're missing out on Zathura, man.
It's actually a well-reviewed movie, is it not?
It's not bad, man. Yeah, Jon Favreau directed. He's using a lot of practical effects.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he also directed Cowboys and Aliens, and I told you.
You love that movie, and you love John Carter.
I don't.
And Zathura is better than both.
That's inaccurate information.
You love those movies.
That's not really what I had said.
What'd you give them on? I bet you got at least a 3 on Letterboxd.
Might be. Well,
probably. Hey, speaking of Letterboxd, everybody out there should follow franchise theme song composer.
Yes.
Definitely the sole composer of that theme song.
Yep.
Jason Anthony Harris. You could follow him on Letterboxd. You will find every movie 1 star lower than it should be. And
he is tough. Yeah.
Jason Anthony Harris, more like Jason Anthony Harsh. Am I right?
Woo! Yeah, baby. He is tough.
Yeah.
Lord,
everything's one less.
I think I found one 5-star movie. Phantom Thread got 5.
Yeah, I saw that too.
He's our buddy.
He's very funny.
He's very funny. Yeah, he wrote the theme song to the show, as you all know, by himself. No guitar work from me, that's the way it's. I'm happy about it. You know.
Why are you restating facts that I already said?
I want to make sure everybody's clear on the truth.
Okay.
I want to make sure it's all out there.
Yeah, I want to be upfront with the listeners.
Just in case you're listening over there in Taiwan and Singapore and Switzerland, because we're all over the world. You know, that amazing theme song you hear in the beginning originated with me.
I knew you couldn't resist. I knew you couldn't just let that be a joke.
You goaded me. You baited me.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good joke if I wouldn't have touched it.
Yeah.
But then I touched it.
I knew you had to.
Then there's no coming back.
Yeah.
There's no coming back.
All right, Henry, Wishmaster, we're in the middle of that. Wishmaster 3 and 4 will be in your feeds over there on Monday. And what?
Have you watched either of them yet?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Okay. Follow us on Letterboxd. Follow Jason Anthony Harris on Letterboxd.
Email us at thefranchisepod@gmail.com and henryfranchise@outlook.com.
And I did want to say something too, since it's in the general feed really quick. If you do want me to read your email on air, you could tell me in the email. I'm getting a lot lately, which is very nice. It's wonderful. But I'm, you know, I respect people's privacy, so I'm not just going to read your email unless, you know. So if you want me to read it, just say so in the email, and I will do so. And it's great to hear from you all. And I guess that is it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Dan's like, shut the fuck up. I'm ready to go. Yeah. All right. We will see you on Wishmaster 3. It's a strong ending. We like to end it strong. Until then, everybody, happy trails.
It's like, what do they say in this movie?
They say like, okay, so I'm breaking character.
We didn't
here.
Even mention Nick Jonas. He's in there.
Talk about Nick Jonas. Nick Jonas Brothers, Joe Bro. Dan's a big fan.
I was never a fan. No, I was a Bieber guy.
Bieber, that's
and
true.
One day. That's what makes you beautiful, gang. Happy trails.